News. I'm Michelle Franzen. In Baltimore, investigators are focusing on the safety inspections of the ship that crashed into the Key Bridge, causing the span to collapse. That mangled steel submerged and poking out of the water, and along with blocking access to the port. Crews now getting ready to use massive cranes to begin removing debris, with engineers watching every move. Maryland Governor Wes Moore.
But the big part, and one of the challenges, is that the Key Bridge, which sits on top of the vessel right now, that weight is somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 tons.
Recovery efforts also a priority for the four maintenance workers presumed dead. A UN report on Haiti saying gang violence will lead to a catastrophic situation if immediate and bold action is not taken, including deploying 5,000 troops. And it's been 1 year since Russia arrested American journalist Evan Gershkovich, accusing him of espionage. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's revenue secretary is stepping down soon. Peter Barco was first appointed in 2019. He'll leave office April 9th. Before that, he represented the Kenosha area in the State Assembly in the U.S. House. He worked in the Small Business Administration during the Clinton administration. Healthcare providers are signing people up in Wisconsin for Medicare and Medicaid. Christine Huberty is with the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. She says it's mostly for older people with disabilities.
First and foremost, look at the provider network restrictions and look at what's available in your area.
But only about 3 in 10 people who qualify for dual eligible special needs plans were enrolled in 2021. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Union Gospel Mission is calling on Duluth residents to donate blankets with the return of typical winter weather. According to a Fox 21 report, Union Gospel Mission officials say their blanket stock has been completely depleted due to the winter storm earlier this week, and with the warming center and CHUM typically being full, some people have been forced to sleep outside. Residents can drop off blankets and other donations at the Union Gospel Mission Monday to Thursday from 9 to 5:30 or Friday from 9 to 1. A $13 million housing project officially broke ground in Ladysmith this week. According to a WQOW report, the Lindu School Apartments and Townhomes project broke ground on Thursday afternoon after years of planning. The project would renovate Ladysmith's former elementary school and create 40 new housing units. In addition to converting the former classrooms into housing units, the project will also include a skate park and an ADA-accessible playground. The project should be finished this year. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Bucks lose in the Big Easy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Pelicans 107 to 100. New Orleans led by as much as 18 and played a very physical kind of game. The Bucks' Malik Beasley had 6 three-pointers, but it wasn't enough.
I don't know, it was a tough game, so it doesn't really matter if we lose. I like winning. I'd rather hit 1 3 than hit whatever I hit and win. So it's frustrating, but, you know, we'll finish the season off right.
They play the Hawks in Atlanta tomorrow night. College basketball, the Badgers women's team with a decisive win over Illinois State, 86-61. They advance to the Great Eight in the WNIT. Wisconsin's Sanya Copeland leading with 18 points. Baseball, the Brewers open the season in New York against the Mets. Pat Murphy on what he's learned going from being the bench coach to becoming the team's manager.
The game's evolving, and it behooves you to evolve with it. But, my eyes have been wide open.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny for the rest of this afternoon. Temps in the mid-40s. Chance of freezing drizzle tonight, a winter weather advisory. Chance of freezing drizzle on your Saturday morning. Low tonight around 28, the high tomorrow around 41. Sunday, clouds in 45. Right now, it's 41.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
Like to a former lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome paranormal investigator Todd Michaels and music and movie producer Wendy Schneider. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
I can see you there, can see you real nice.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Jim Santel, guest hosting this hour as the former hour. On behalf of Maggie, thank you for joining us this hour. We're talking about all things voting today, anticipating that Wisconsinites and other people around the nation will be going to the polls this coming Tuesday. We're also featuring Calvin and IR, the wonderful music of Ava O'Donovan. She recently released an album called All My Friends. One of the tracks from that is The Right Time, in which she is memorializing the great work of Carrie Chapman Catt, 1859, born right here in Wisconsin, died in 1947, the founder of the many institutions, including the National League of Women Voters here in the United States of America, a major player when it comes to passing the 19th Amendment, ensuring the right to vote for all women. Featuring today the music of Ava O'Donovan, All My Friends, as a part of our presentation this afternoon, talking about all things voting. I've got a special guest coming up in just a few moments. Before we do that, I want to remind all of our listeners that this is your last chance to enter something called the Ride into Spring contest, which is promoted by Civic Media. All you need to do is download the Civic Media app and use it to text the keyword time for your chance to win. One person who texts in this hour will win a trip to the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. And every entry, Calvin tells me that every entry will be put into a raffle to win a new bicycle, a patio love seat, or a 3-in-1 blender. How much better can you get, Calvin, than that? That's the Ride into Spring contest here on Civic Media, celebrating not only spring, but as we indicated, voting in the state of Wisconsin, voting coming up. Delighted to have you participate in that contest. Delighted to have with me in the studios here of Civic Media, my friend, my colleague, her name is Kristen Hansen. Kristen, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks, Jim. I think everyone should text for that prize. And then you make a margarita, put it in a jar, take your bike when you're margarita to Chula Vista. There you go. It's like a whole vacation.
It's just perfect. And this is why, Kristen, Civic Media needs to employ you as a part of not only the promotion team, but the creative team as a part of Civic Media. Kristen Hansen is here not only to give us wonderful advice about this particular offering here. Kristen is a longtime voting rights advocate, not only in southeastern Wisconsin, throughout the state of Wisconsin. She is a true promoter. She's a believer and a promoter as well. The language is followed by the action. On behalf of Kristen Hansen, civics understanding and promoting voting rights in many ways, big and small, known and unknown, with groups of all varieties, all immutable characteristics, including some wonderful work that she does with young people here in the area. She also happens to be the founder and the president of Blue Sky Waukesha, which, again, pursuant to those particular advocacies, does a lot to ensure that we understand what we're doing in America, what civics is all about, what voting is all about, and the importance of representative government. Kristen, once again, yes. I'm delighted to have you with me.
Thank you. We are
going to spend all of this hour, you and I, talking all about the upcoming election, not only in April, but also perhaps in August. We've got something else coming up in November as well.
Exciting stuff happening this year.
So tell me to begin this. Why is it from your perspective, your wonderfully experienced and educated perspective, why is it that people should go to the polls this coming Tuesday in this particular kind of voting, the spring election? Why is it important that people go to the polls?
You know, it's a mystery to all of us in the voting rights realm that people don't vote more in the April elections. The turnout in these elections is so low. So first of all, your vote counts more because not as many people are voting, right? But with the exception of a Supreme Court election like last spring's, which was so huge, a lot of money spent on that election, a lot of ads. People really knew something was going on. In these other spring elections, you've got regular people running for office in their local municipalities, right?
They're in your community,
so,
right?
Yeah, they're
right
not down raising the millions of dollars to put ads on the TV. So you really need to pay more attention. You need to actually try. You need to go to myvote.wi.gov, look at your ballot ahead of time, search for those people who are running in your area. Do they have a website? A lot of them do. Many of them don't. Do they have a Facebook page? Is there a recent interview in the newspaper about their candidacy? Learn who those people are. Here's the thing. The issues that a lot of people say are top of mind for them, schools, mm-hmm. public education.
Absolutely.
Crime. Do we have enough police officers, too many police officers? What's the streets? We need our roads to be repaired. We have infrastructure issues. All of those things. Our local,
they're local
issues.
Right? They're right down the street.
And you want to look at the president and say, why don't you fix this pothole outside my house? That's your alderman.
Right.
Right? That's your local taxes paying for that. Are they getting some funding from elsewhere? Sure. But all of these things that really affect your day-to-day life
that
are
you
the,
see
on
out your
the
kitchen,
ground.
Kitchen window, right?
The kitchen, right. Kitchen table issues are local issues. So don't miss this chance to make real change or keep things the same, if that's what you want to do, vote for the incumbents. But these are much more important elections than the attention that they're given.
Right. We know that the national media obviously focusing every single minute of every single day upon, appropriately, right? This is important as we elect not only a president, but also senators and congressmen and congresswomen. But your point cannot be overstated, this notion that, again, not just this election, but frankly, many, many elections. They're all about things that affect you in your community.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about what's going to happen next Tuesday in particular. And then I want to go back and talk about some other aspects of this. Polls are open.
Yes.
Tell me if I'm right or wrong. 7 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Correct.
Is that the understanding?
7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And remember, if you are in line by 8 p.m., you can vote. You don't have to be finished voting by 8 p.m. You just have to make sure you get in line by 8 p.m.
Right.
So even if you're rushing, you know, after work or something like that, do make it there. As long as you're there by 8, you can vote.
Get there at 7:59 so that the chief inspector there says, yes, I see you in line. I mentioned before in the first hour that I do serve as a polling worker on election day. And there are people who come in. And the doors stay open until 8 o'clock, and if there's a line, let them in. So, but don't wait that long, right?
Don't purposely wait that long. But if it happens, and you're looking at your watch, going, "Do I have time to get there?" Try.
Exactly.
The other thing that's interesting that I know most people don't know, you can be an election observer. There's rules that you have to follow, which they will give you when you enter the polling place. You check in with the chief election inspector, and you can observe what's going on. Some people do this formally with an organization or a political party, but
anybody can decide to do it. Right?
You can even stay after the election is over and sit in the corner where you're designated to sit and watch the closing procedures.
Right.
And then, as you know, the chief election inspector will read out what the results of the election were in that particular polling place out loud.
Absolutely.
So there's really no secrets with our elections. It's a very open process. And you can absolutely sit and watch it
and
happen.
Watch it. You can literally observe. The last election in February, we had an election observer there. He was there for much of the afternoon into the evening. And he did exactly, Kristen, what you just said. He remained. And from time to time, he asked questions about what was going on. Did not in any way interrupt the process, but
correct.
Engaged with the entire system there, understanding what was going on. Again, what a great nation this is. What a great state this is, where you can go in and do just that. See democracy quite literally at work, right?
Of course, we don't want anybody to feel like they're intimidated by these observers.
Right,
but there's rules around that, too. If you feel that somebody is stepping you know, over the line and you feel intimidated as a voter, you need to tell the chief inspector that. And, you know, as always, if there's any time you feel you've been given wrong information or you feel, you know, uncomfortable in your polling place for some reason, there is a hotline for that.
Right. And that is?
That is 866-OUR-VOTE.
866-OUR-VOTE.
Which is 866-687-8683. And you can call that line anytime, all day long on Election Day. And a room of lawyers are based all over the state to pop in and help you answer whatever issues that you're having.
Outstanding. Terrific. Let's talk about eligibility. All right. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about registration a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Eligible to vote, you have to be a U.S. citizen, mm-hmm. right? 18 years old, as we just said in the previous hour. You have to be a resident of the state of Wisconsin at least 28 days before the election.
Correct.
And yet you register to vote or registering, you can register to vote on Election Day. If I am not presently registered, can I in the state of Wisconsin come in and register at the same time that
you
I want to
vote?
You
can. We're so lucky that way. You can register to vote on Election Day at your polling place. Again, magic website, go to myvote.wi.gov and plug in your address. They'll tell you what your polling place is. Even if you're, you know, you moved here a month ago, you want to go vote, you can do that. Find your polling place. You can read what documents are required to register. You need to prove two things.
Yes.
You need to prove who you are and where you live.
Yes.
And there's a long list of documents you can use to prove where you live. It can be your driver's license if your driver's license has your current address on it. It can be a utility statement. It can be your residential lease, a real estate tax bill. It can be any letter from the U.S. government that was mailed to you at your house or any letter from the state that was mailed to you at your house. There's a long, long list on the website about it.
And that information also available right there at the registration desk. The idea, as you just said, Kristen, to emphasize that, you're establishing that you're now living in the area, in the vicinity,
whatever that district is.
Wherever that is, right? And that you should be on the polls there. There's a form you need to fill out, right? And usually the people who are there will help you with that. You got to put that together and prove once again that you are now, you have been a resident now for 28 days of this area.
And a little funny loophole, though, is if you've moved from a residence in Wisconsin to another residence within the last 28 days, you vote at your old polling place.
Sure.
Go vote at your old polling place and then re-register with your new address after the election to prep you for the August and November elections.
All right. So if I'm registering, say I've just turned 18, I'm now eligible, I've come in, I register, I can do that. Can I vote then right after I've registered?
You can.
Wonderful.
In fact, a lot of polling places, they really love it when they get a new voter, especially a young voter, and everybody will clap and they'll let you go right to the front of the line and vote right away. One thing, though, that has changed in the last decade or so is even someone young, 18-year-old high school student still lives at home with mom and dad, you do still have to have proper photo ID.
Yes.
So if you don't have a driver's license, you do need to get a state ID. Which you can do. You can go to the DMV, you know, on Monday and get a receipt saying that you have applied to get an ID, and you can use that to vote. Sure. We used to have a law called vouching, where a parent could vouch for their child and say, "This is my child," or "This is my grandma," and they live with us in our house, or "That's my neighbor." We don't do that anymore. A certain person whose initials are SKW did away with that. But so do make sure if you've got a young person in your house and they're all excited to vote for the first time, make sure they have ID.
Right. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what happens. You're registered either at the point or you're previously registered. And we're now ready to vote. You go over to the polling books. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what happens there, what kind of identification you need and don't need to vote in the state of Wisconsin. As we continue our discussion of voting in the state of Wisconsin here on the Civic Media Station, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up,
Apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
What is the democracy for which the world is battling, for which we offer up a manpower?
This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I am Jim Santel. I'm joined in the studios of Civic Media here in downtown Waukesha by a great patriot, an advocate for voting rights and civics understanding. Her name is Kristen Hansen. Kristen, thank you once again for being with me this afternoon as we march through the process that can happen for everyone who is eligible to vote this coming Tuesday. We were chatting just before the break about registration. So we are registered and we are now ready to vote. And I will then walk over to a table.
Yep.
And what do I do when I'm there? What kind of ID? What do I need to show at that time?
That's when you show your photo ID. And the primary one will be the Wisconsin driver's license. It does not have to have your current address on it. It can even be expired recently. But so you show them your driver's license or your state ID or your passport. It has to be a government-issued document with your photo and your name on it. So that might be a tribal ID. It might be a VA ID. It might be active military, whatever. If you are unsure if you have the right kind of ID, again, good old myvote.wi.gov, or there's a whole website just about voter ID called Bring It.
Bring
It. Wi.gov. Okay. So can look there. I will say, if you aren't sure about documents to register or vote, go early in the day.
Yes.
Because the poll workers will help you figure it out, and you might have to go home. You can always vote provisionally and bring your ID back again before the end of the week, and then that's kind of an extra help too. But and then you're going to sign the poll book, and when we say sign, if you are a person who has limited use of their hands, any mark you make on that poll book counts in front of the poll worker. And you do have to state your name and address out loud.
Right.
Right.
To ensure that you are, in fact, the person that we're looking at and the identification is there, right?
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Exactly. We also have drive-up voting, obviously, in appropriate circumstances, right? If someone who cannot make it into the polling place itself, there's a mechanism for doing that, too.
You should be able to pull. There should be signage.
Yes.
It's not always the greatest, but there should be signage, a place where you can pull up, or a person driving you can pull up and notify the people inside that you're out there and you need to vote in your car. And they will come out. Two poll workers should come out together and help you vote.
Right.
So really, I mean, they do their best to try to figure out any possible way for people to vote on Election Day.
And your advice, too, about voting when you can, certainly during the day. It's also a work day, a business day, a school day. But if there are any issues, the voter people there, the polling workers, they're going to try to help you with this. They're not going to violate the rules. And so, as you said, it may be that you have to run back home to get something. But if you've got the time to do that, we can make that happen and get the information into the system that needs to be there to ensure that you can vote.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I am now ready to vote. I've been given this authorization. I go over to the not completely secret. It's not a dark room somewhere, but it's fairly confidential. If I have a list of people that I want to vote for and I can't memorize it in advance, can I bring into the polling place information?
You can
on my
bring
phone?
A cheat sheet. Yes.
Okay, good.
You can bring a cheat sheet. You can also bring a person with, if you have trouble with the English language and you need someone there to help you, if for whatever reason, you're allowed to have assistance. So bring your translator or bring someone to help you physically do it. That is allowed. There's also issues with the ballot. You should really read that ballot carefully.
Yes.
And especially in a spring election, in a presidential year, it's a little bit confusing. So the poll workers will spend extra time explaining what's all on your ballot. Mm-hmm. For instance, the part of the ballot is going to be the presidential preference. You can only vote in one political party's presidential preference election. Then you go to the next part of the ballot, and that's all nonpartisan. That's all your local stuff. There are no political parties connected to it. So it's kind of two separate things. And then we will have referendums on this ballot as well. So really three parts of the ballot that you need to pay attention to.
And the ballot does have language on it that explains that.
Sure.
But it's a little bit, not cumbersome, but you have to read through all that to understand it.
Take your time.
Exactly. Take your time. If you have a question about it, again, without in any way disclosing how you're voting, that sort of thing, the poll workers will help you with that. They cannot tell you how to vote.
No one
can tell you other than you. Even the person who assists you, if there is a language need, that person cannot direct you to vote in a certain way, but they can assist you to make all that happen. Again, if you have made an error, and I do in fact vote in the first section of the ballot in both categories, and I say, gosh, I just made a mistake here, Mr. or Ms. Poll Worker. What can I do with that?
They will give you two more chances. You may notice it quickly yourself, and then you can go back to the desk and say, oops, and they will spoil that ballot and hand you a new one twice. So you get three chances total. Or you might put your ballot into the counting machine and it rejects it. So actually, when you do finish and you put your ballot in the machine, stand there and wait for it to actually be accepted.
It takes a second, right?
Because if it spits back out again, you need to find out what you did and fix it. So, there are remedies to that, too.
And the poll workers will destroy that first ballot, give you a new one, go back and start over. No problem there at all. No voter fraud.
No voter fraud at all.
But just a mechanism, again, to ensure that you have the opportunity to vote. Do you have to vote for everybody on the ballot
every single race? In fact, that's one of the issues, again, with the spring election, something we hope will change in future years. But you will see a lot of uncontested races. So a lot of races, especially here in Waukesha County where we live, there are no challengers to any of the judicial races. So you'll see their name and you'll see a write-in line. If you really want to write someone in, go ahead. But that just means they're going to pull that ballot out and have to count it separately. There are no official write-in candidates, so it's not going to matter. So you can give those people a vote if you want to, but they're uncontested. They're going to win. There are also situations where it'll say vote for up to two people or up to three. You don't have to vote for that many people. That's how many you can go up to.
That's the ceiling.
So if you're looking at a list of seven people for school board and you only know one or two names and those are the only two people who you really like, only vote for those. That's okay. That's perfectly fine too.
Once again, you can have your cheat sheet, as you said.
And you can have your cheat sheet.
You can have your phone with you, right? If you've got that on there, you want to pull up some websites of the candidates, you can do that.
Yes, you cannot ask an observer for help. Right. You cannot ask a poll worker you cannot say, hey, who's the conservative candidate on this list? That's who I want to, no one's going to tell you. You can phone a friend, literally. You can step away
and phone
a friend if you want to, but you cannot do it while you're standing there. Yeah.
Any limitations on time? Maybe it would be unusual if someone's there for hours and hours.
I think that would be unusual, but usually it's okay.
if you're taking a long period of time pondering.
This goes back to what one of the things of voting advocates always say, make a plan. Do this purposefully. You know, look at what your day is going to look like on Tuesday. Figure out when you're going to vote. Give yourself time and then sit down, look at what the ballot is going to be and actually look at who those folks are that you want to vote for. And if you do all of that, it's going to be a lovely day.
And you have indicated already that the information about who is running, obviously it changes from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. We've got lots of things, and including referendums, which we'll talk about in just a few moments or so. If I want to find out, again, your references to the websites, if I want to find out who's running in my particular area, where do I go? Where do I find
MyVote.wi.gov. You can click on what's on my ballot, and it will tell you exactly what's going to be on your personal ballot.
Wonderful. We're going to talk more about the process by which voting happens, including some references to early voting, absentee voting, as those begin to come to an end, as we continue our discussion with Kristen Hansen here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
Everybody, Todd Albaugh, Monday noon to 2, it's the Cheese, Beer, and Radio Tour starting in Richland Center with Trey V. Olson. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This is National Let's Laugh Day. I think laughter is truly the best medicine. What makes you laugh the hardest? My family members, my kids are funny. My dad makes me laugh. My wife makes me laugh. Conrad makes me laugh. I think one of the most important things that we can do in life is laugh. Personally, comedy's gotten me through some very tough times. It's great therapy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Filing taxes is a necessary evil, and navigating proper business strategies for the farm during tax season can be a jungle. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Marissa Nielsen is a business strategist, coach, speaker, and a farm kid from North Dakota. She suggests getting all of your advisors together.
If you need a heart surgeon today and you need to clean out with a widowmaker, you need to come in with a team. That's tax, legal, risk, wealth management. That's your banking relationships. That's all of those people coming together around you, around that operating room table, to make sure that you get the results you want. And that's to not only walk off that table, but walk out whole and healthy and better when you came in. And yet every single day, this is the question I ask. When's the last time your accountant, attorney, financial advisor, insurance guy, banker, those people all got in the same room and talked about your plan? And I might get one out of every 100 that say, yeah, my team meets annually for me.
That was Marissa Nielsen, business strategist and coach from North Dakota. I'll have more news right after this.
Microbials play a critical role in the health and vitality of livestock. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, veterinarian and founder of BioVet, your leading source for high-quality microbial and nutritional products that support growth, health, and production in livestock. Listen to our Microbials Matter podcast at bio-vet.com as experts discuss health, digestion, and support for livestock. Visit bio-vet.com and click on podcast.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. With the escalated value beef producers are seeing in the marketplace, focusing on always bringing quality animals to the buyer means money, and keeping genetics fresh is critical. For 67 years, the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association has focused on revealing great young sires ready for a new paddock. Their performance-selected bull sale is the longest-running test in the nation. The sale is on Saturday, April 6th, starting at 11 a.m. at the UW-Platteville Pioneer Farm. Need directions? Just head 3 miles south of Platteville on Highway 80 and then 3 miles east on College Farm Road. They'll be selling 70 yearling performance-tested bulls. So take a look at the sale catalog, performance information, or pedigree information, as well as videos of the bulls. Head on over to wisconsinbeef.com. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny for the rest of this afternoon. Temps in the mid-40s. Chance of freezing drizzle tonight, a winter weather advisory. Chance of freezing drizzle on your Saturday morning. Low tonight around 28, the high tomorrow around 41. Sunday, clouds and 45. Currently 42 degrees.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Oh.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Jim Santel, guest hosting this afternoon, talking about all things elections, including voting coming up this coming Tuesday with my colleague and friend Kristen Hansen, chatting right before our last segment here about the ballot itself and finding information on who's running. That website, once again, Kristen, if I wanted to find out who's running in my area, is?
Myvote.wi.gov.
And that's the basis for my doing some research. There is something else going on this particular election cycle called the Vote Uninstructed campaign.
Yes.
What is that all
this
about?
This is fascinating. So let's remember the presidential preference is the terminology. We keep calling it a presidential primary. It's in Wisconsin, it's a presidential preference vote. This is by and large controlled by the political parties. What they are asking you is, who would you prefer to be our candidate for president? And one of the, you know, there's supposedly several choices. Usually by the time it gets to Wisconsin, there's one choice in each party. That's a whole other discussion. But there has always been an option to say, I am not instructing the delegates to the party's convention to vote for this person. I am leaving them uninstructed. What you're really doing is telling the party, I am instructing you to instruct our delegates to vote for this person. So, you know, none of this is all official until the parties have had their conventions later this summer. So this is supposedly asking the opinion of the voters in that party. That's why you have to pick one party or the other and tell them, is this the person you want? It's very frustrating, of course, that it's pretty much over with. There are only two candidates still left in. So there has, like I said, there's always been this option to vote uninstructed. It's just never, people have never paid that much attention to it. Two reasons, I think, that are driving an uninstructed campaign this year. One of them is an actual concerted campaign by folks who are trying to send the message that they're very unhappy about what's happening in Gaza. There are 32,000 people killed. There are millions of people in dire need of food and water and medical assistance. People are literally starving to death. And it's a mess. And they want Joe Biden in particular to understand how concerned they are, how upset they are about this, and that they want him to do something about it. So they're asking people to vote uninstructed as a message to the party and the president that they're very upset about this. There's also some people who can use that uninstructed simply to say, I didn't like any of these candidates.
Yes. Yeah.
So apparently there was a small movement in 2020 of people who voted uninstructed in the Republican ticket because they did not like that their only choice was Donald Trump. People could do that again this year. So it is a way to send a message. Does it actually change anything? No. But it is symbolic, and it could be a very important symbol of where people's passions are lying right now. So so that is a choice that you can make. If you say, you know, I just want you to know I'm not happy, you can vote uninstructed.
And there's a fair amount of media attention about there on these initiatives, for whatever the motivation may be. So that explanation, very, very important. You also, as long as we're talking sort of about theory here, you also have some views about this entire idea about having presidential preference and primaries, good, bad, or mostly someplace
here's,
in between.
Here's my problem, Jim.
Go ahead.
The side of the sitting president, there's rarely a strong challenge to a sitting president if he or she someday decides to vote to run for a second term. I get that. Okay. But then this other side, whichever party that might be, puts on this show that there's going to be a primary and many, many people will run. Then it's five people. Then it's three people. Then it's two people. Then we are only at the beginning of April. And already for several weeks, this race has been over. So the vast majority of Americans have had no say in this at all.
Do not get to have a voice in this.
In fact, we do this nonsense, and I'll pick on the Republican Party, but the Democratic Party could be just the same. You have a caucus in Iowa, and 100,000 people, if you're lucky, voted. Then you go to the small one of the smallest states in the country, right, to New Hampshire, and about 400,000 people vote, and then it's over. And a half a million of the 330 million people in this country have voted.
Have decided.
And it's over.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, if I had a magic wand, I would say make them all run and we all vote on the same day.
Right.
And whoever wins is the winner.
The whole idea is
this idea of popping around to different states just isn't fair.
Right.
And you end up with someone who is not necessarily the choice of the majority of the people who would vote in that party, much less the majority of Americans.
That's my complaint. It's almost politically disenfranchising a great portion of the population, right?
And it's really hard, especially in a spring election, when you really want people to pay attention because of the important local races. It's hard to say, get out there and vote for president. I'm sorry.
When it's been decided. By
now,
others and other
could
places.
Something very, very dramatic happen this year at the conventions? Sure, it could. But I think that's why if there was ever a time to say symbolically, I want to send a message, this would be it.
It's inconsequential. Right. So we've got a little bit of a civics perspective there also. And Kristen, appreciate that perspective. Let's go back and do a little bit of footnote work here. There's also this thing called early voting, a thing called absentee voting. I think the hours are ticking away to do both of those. We're not going to spend a lot of time. If we'd gotten together a couple of weeks ago, I invited you on the show, we'd have more to say about that. But what are those?
Yeah.
Is there still a brief opportunity to do any of that?
Yeah, what we call early voting is also in-person absentee voting. Is probably going on at your municipal office, municipal hall today until probably 5 o'clock. Go to your website to double check that. In Milwaukee, there are a limited number. I want to say it's from like 10 to 2 tomorrow at the early voting stations in the city of Milwaukee. And you can, again, go to their website to see those exact locations. So a few hours left here. Maybe in Madison there's some early voting over the weekend, but it's pretty much wrapped up. Now you're going to vote on April 2nd, most likely.
So once again, check your clerk and go online and determine what the hours are.
I will say, too, if you live in District 14 or District 6 in Milwaukee, there were a handful of ballots sent out for those who had requested mailed ballots.
Yes, tell us about
that. There was a human error / printed error, but there is no aldermanic race listed. So if you did return that ballot, it's kind of too late now. You just didn't get to vote for alderman. You voted for the other things. But if you still have a ballot at home and it does not have an aldermanic race on it, just bring that ballot with you on April 2nd and vote in person.
Very good. Some good advice from Kristen Hansen joining me this afternoon to talk about all things voting. You mentioned previously that one of the other things we're going to see on the ballots throughout the state of Wisconsin, regardless of where you are a couple of referendums. Let me set this up by saying there are two of them, right? Two proposed amendments to the Constitution. We'll talk a bit about the civics related to that, right? The backstory on all of this as well. The first one, the first proposed amendment on the April ballot, again, add language to the Wisconsin Constitution declaring that no state or local agency officer or employee may apply for, accept, expend, or use any monies or equipment in connection with the conduct of any primary election or referendum, if the monies or equipment are donated or granted by an individual or a non-government entity. And the second one, just to put this all out on the table here before we discuss them, second one is prohibiting any individual other than an election official designated by law from performing any task in the conduct of any primary election or referendum. Those two things are going to appear on the ballots throughout the state of Wisconsin, correct?
Yes.
So everybody votes on those. Let me, before I turn this over to you for your good perspectives on what those mean and frankly, recommendations about the extent to which this is, let me voice my own view about this notion of placing this in the Constitution.
Go for it.
I think you probably share my view on this. Constitutions are to constitute big picture issues, things like freedom of speech and due process rights, all those kinds of things, equal protection. These are the kinds of things that should be legislated, if at all, by, again, in Congress, in the state houses. These are not things that should be in a constitution. These are very particular things having to do with the ways in which elections are accomplished or not. They shouldn't be there. And frankly, my principle, my threshold concern about these is they shouldn't be constitutional aspects or constitutional components at all.
Oh, you could not be more right. Yeah, people should vote no on both of those referendums on principle, first of all, for exactly the reasons you said, but also because they are based on conspiracy theories from the 2020 election.
Happen. Right.
And just the idea that we're going to change our state constitution to keep some election deniers and conspiracy theorists happy is ridiculous. So, the first one about the money, this was back in, you'll remember the April, I hope we all have long enough memories to remember the April election in 2020, 4 years ago, we were in the throes of a pandemic. And the folks who are trying to put on elections are looking at the empty coffers and saying,
we need money to do
we
this.
We need plexiglass barriers. We need PPE for
people. We need gloves. We need masks.
We need gloves. We need sanitizers. We need pens so that we're not reusing pens. We didn't know at the time what was going on with this pandemic. So they got some grants. And I will say, this is another issue. The people who created this referendum, because Tony Evers vetoed it when they tried to make it a law, Robin Voss, they failed to mention that 200 municipalities of all political leanings and stripes across Wisconsin got grants like this. The only ones they want you to care about are the big cities, and then they'll use that to point to it and say something must have happened that in this, you know, they got this money and they used it to steal elections. That is complete nonsense. They got that money because taxpayer funds do not cover the cost of running elections in
this
state.
They were insufficient to do
this. They're insufficient now. They've always been insufficient. There simply is not enough taxpayer dollars to cover these. So they carefully find completely unrestricted, nonpartisan organizations to give them a little bit of help. And they did in 2020. And they do often... They're incredibly expensive pieces of equipment. Now, if you want your taxes to go way up to pay for the equipment that is needed to do our elections properly, then by all means, vote yes. I don't.
Right.
So that's the first thing.
Exactly.
The second question in that referendum is based on, again, a story that has been debunked, that some clerk was letting just random people help her
come
run the election.
And do the
completely
things that poll
debunked,
workers do, right?
Totally false. And if we change, again, the entire Constitution to say that only people named with titles named in statute can help run elections, you've got small municipalities that use volunteers for this
Absolutely.
Stuff. You've got small municipalities that say, you know, can somebody in a different department of the little village come over and help me out with these
we
elections?
Need you this
oh,
afternoon.
No. They will not be able to anymore if this passes. So, I mean, something as simple as, I know in the city of Waukesha, there was, at the time I heard the story a year or so ago, I don't know if she's still there, but there was a woman who worked in the city hall who was multilingual. She spoke like five or six languages. So when they had someone who needed some help with translation, they would ask her to come over from her office and help with translation. Does that constitute someone not named in statute helping a voter with an election?
Arguably, yes.
So it's one of those, you know, unintended consequences we're all going to suffer from if these pass. And also, do not change our Constitution based on a temper tantrum over conspiracy
this
theories.
Level of granularity, right? And again, responding to a problem that doesn't exist.
In the worst possible way.
Exactly. So a strong advocacy here to vote no on both of those. They seem to be the kinds
that's
of
how
things
they get
that,
you.
That you'd say, well, that sounds right. But again, it's the kind of thing that you want to go online, do some research, you want to listen to Kristen and me, and determine whether or not this is something you want to vote in favor of when you go into the polls this coming Tuesday. More of this great discussion as we continue here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show, talking this afternoon about all things elections and voting, featuring once again this wonderful music from All My Friends, the recently released album by Afa O'Donovan, including a wonderful memorial to Carrie Chapman Catt, one of the leaders in the movement ultimately successful to get the right of women to vote in America. Also born right here in the state of Wisconsin in Ripon. We're celebrating voting. We're celebrating women. We're celebrating the franchise today, doing that with my colleague and friend, Kristen Hansen. Kristen, a few more questions just about things going forward here as well. We talked about generally these referendums. Both of us feel strongly that the vote should be no on both of those. In certain localities, there'll also be school referendums, MPS, other places. Tell me about those. I do want to remind
people that I don't want you to be surprised when you get your ballot and there's a little question there asking for a measly $10 to $120 million from you.
Right.
Many school referendums on the ballots in the spring. In Waukesha County alone, $165 million worth of referendums for the schools. Some of them to build new schools, to expand schools. Some of them just to keep the schools up to date. Running. And then, of course, MPS has a very, very large ask out there to keep the schools up to date. Another thing in the state that is broken and can't be fixed until we get some bipartisan work on it is the way we fund our public schools.
Yes.
And the only choice the school district has when they have an extraordinary cost is to go directly to the voters and ask for the taxes to be raised to pay for it. They usually ask for permission to get a bond. They basically are asking you for permission to borrow that level of that amount of money that will be paid back with your tax dollars over the next 25 years or whatever it is. But so be prepared for that. I have asked a few people, you know, hey, you know, your municipality is asking for $40 million. Does that seem right? And I've had people say, well, actually, the schools are looking pretty shabby. I know we need to expand. I know we need, you know, the HVAC needs to be completely overhauled. There's no other way to pay for that stuff. So be on the lookout for that on your ballot.
And
as
again,
well.
Research
Give it
that
some
locally,
thought.
Right?
Give
Talk
it
to
some
people,
thought.
Go
yep.
online, determine what it is that's going on in your particular locality. We have spent most of this hour talking about the voting coming up in 4 short days. We're very excited about that. America doing what it's supposed to do under the Constitution, the state of Wisconsin, federal constitution. We've got 2 more opportunities this year, August and November as well. And we're going to talk right now about the changes that we're going to see effective in August, because we've got some new maps in the state of Wisconsin.
We do. And it's going to be exciting, because what this will do is create those new maps that the governor signed in February, create many, many more competitive legislative districts than we have had for the last 12 years. So you will get people running for office for assembly and for state senate who would have never considered that because it was not a competitive district. So starting April 15th, you might get people knocking on your door and saying, I'm running for state senator, I'm running for state assembly person, and would you, you know, sign my nomination papers. candidates have to get, I think it's 1,000 signatures in order to go onto the ballot as a state legislature candidate. So that starts April 15th. They have to turn them in June 1st-ish. And then August, which is sometimes a sleepy primary,
yes,
August 13th, mark your calendars.
Yeah, yeah.
Strange time of the year to have an election. But we may see some really exciting competitive primaries,
yes, because of this
because
change.
Because of this change that we have not seen before. So do pay attention to that. You might find people who are incumbents who, if their district lines have changed, they need to run in a primary against another incumbent.
Right.
Or you might, like I said, see people who there's no incumbent in the district now. And so now it's an open seat and people are going to take a shot, right? And see if they can jump into that. There also are districts that are still going to remain very, very dark red or very dark blue. If you live in one of those districts, August is even more important because essentially, if there is a primary, whoever wins that primary is pretty much going to win in November. Right.
Yes,
so your August vote is really the important vote. So don't let those slide by. We're going to give you 2 weeks off.
There you go.
2 weeks April 2nd.
Right.
Relax.
Right.
And then we're almost
starting up again.
2024,
a big
elections.
Year. And the other thing, of course, that may happen implicit, if not explicit, in what you just said is that when the lines are redrawn, you may find yourself in a different district yourself, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Check the maps. Check to see where you are now located. That's very important as well. Again, if you show up to the wrong polling place, the people there will assist you in that.
Yes.
But
and you know where you can check your polling place, Jim?
Where can you go, Kristen?
MyVote.wi.com.
There you go. One more time, that is. MyVote.com. Very good. A great source of tremendous amount of information out there. All of it going forward. So that's August. And then we have November. We've got a fourth opportunity again to vote
in
Wisconsin.
The all-important presidential election. Forget all that unobstructed stuff. Just vote for president. And then we're going to have, a lot of exciting legislative races that we've never had before. So and then Tammy Baldwin is up.
Yes,
this very, very important Senate race. We want to keep our senior senator. So that'll be exciting. It's going to be a big year.
And
I'm not even going to get you off next spring because we're going to have another exciting Supreme Court race in the spring of 25.
Wonderful, right? We've got more of this coming up. We have no rest at all in doing this. But again, we love this. We embrace this because it is America,
it
right?
Is
this
democracy.
Is what we do.
This is
not as things go on in Russia and there is simply declarations of winning votes that actually did not take place. As to all of these, again, coming up in August again, certainly in August and November and down the road, even in 2025, all the things we talked about, again, the early voting, the absentee voting, in-person registration, all those kinds of things apply once again, unless there is a change in some of the practice here. We know that our Supreme Court is right now taking a look once again at this issue about polling boxes and deposits. So that issue might be much in the news as we go forward here. There could be changes of that kind. But the basic trappings of this, as we've talked about them today, those remain the same in these coming elections.
Yeah, you should feel like you're used to this and you know what you're doing.
Absolutely. And becoming informed in what you're looking at, who the voters are. I want to ask you one more question that I know is based upon your own work here as we begin to wrap up this afternoon, Kristen, with my great thanks and that of Civic Media for being here today. You work with a lot of young people.
I do.
Talk with me about their vision for going ahead very quickly here as we finish up our discussion.
The young voters are looking at issues. They don't necessarily look at who the candidate is. They're not looking for heroes. They're looking at the issues and who shares their values most closely. Good. So keep the young people in your family informed.
Kristen, thank you so much for being with us. Vote on Tuesday, vote in August, vote November and beyond. Important part of your work as a citizen. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media. This is Jim Santel. Maggie is back next week. I'm on the radio again tomorrow morning with Amicus, a law review. Join me for that discussion as well. Have a good afternoon, everybody.
Most deep and distinguished, and handed out strongly for penalty and repentance.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, last call. Got to get you fired up. Out to the polls Tuesday and voting in some very important local races.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com, Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Massive cranes now in Baltimore's harbor to remove the collapsed Key Bridge after a container ship slammed.